Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360, and Assalamu alaikum. And on behalf of myself, Abdul Thomas Abdul Salam, twin servant of peace, and the CEO of American Muslim 360, Dr. Aisha Kareem, want to welcome you to this morning's edition of American Muslim 360 National Dialogue. Inshallah, we're waiting on our guest to call in from Istanbul. Dr. Baybuna, inshallah, will inshallah be our guest this morning, and I'm going to talk about evolution and creation and get some insightful information. And if you have not heard of Hurran Yahya, author out of Turkey, he's written several hundred books on a lot of times in and around scientific or looking at using the Quran and going in and speaking on various different scientific slash biology, medicine, geology. It just goes a whole gamut of things. It's not say specialized in sciences, and a lot of good books, but especially if even if you have children, they're written for children as well, that they can read, very illustrated. Very, most of them that I've aware of are very colorful, very well written books, very well produced books, good quality. And so you haven't heard of, he takes his name, Dr. Baybuna. Baybuna is not the person I'm talking about. He represents Hurran Yahya takes his pen name. It's his pen name, and I'm not bringing in up his real name right now in my mind, but his pen name is taken from Aaron, Hurran, and Yahya, what we may know as Christians as John the Baptist. His name is taken from, his pen name is taken from both of those Quranic or biblical figures. And he said these people were helpers to the prophet, and he is a helper, and I guess you would say, to Allah or to Prophet Muhammad. And so he has taken the pen name, Hurran Yahya. So you could look up him, and it's Hurunyaya. Hurran Yahya. Very, very well written books. And again, all of them from a scientific point of view. Hopefully this is Dr. Baybuna.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, brothers. This is Oktar Baybuna from Turkey on behalf of Hurran Yahya. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam. And this is Dr. Ahmet Baybuna. He's calling all the way from Istanbul, Turkey. Dr. Baybuna? We basically have gone over Hurran Yahya's information and talked a little bit about him. But why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to the audience, and then let's go ahead and talk for a moment.
Okay. My name is Oktar Baybuna. I'm a medical doctor, neurosurgeon, brain surgeon from Turkey, and I will speak on behalf of Hurran Yahya. His real name is Mr. Adnan Oktar. Hurran Yahya is his pen name. He is a Muslim intellectual, has more than 300 books translated to more than 75 languages, and mashallah, science, faith, and politics related. So it's a pleasure and honor for me to be with you, with my Muslim brothers and sisters there. And I send salam of Mr. Hurran Yahya to all our listeners.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And just so perfect, I lived in Turkey for 2 years. I lived in Adana, Turkey. I was at Incirlik there.
Yes, it's south of Turkey, and
Yeah.
we're living in Istanbul actually right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I spent a little time in Istanbul. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to about today, one is I was listening to some interviews that you had done before, and I found the topic of evolution that you were speaking on very interesting, and some of the things you were saying about it, and I guess from a scientific point of view. And so let me kind of say that, because sometimes I speak of that evolution was the process in which we evolved, okay, the world, the universe, and what have you. But you seem to have been saying that it was not evolution, and that, anyway, can you pick up from there? Can you give us some insight? Am I correct on my understanding of the other conversation?
Yes, Mr. Adnan Oktar attaches much importance to Darwinism. But Darwinism is different than what you're saying is Darwinism is an ideology which claims that life emerged by chance and there is no creator. And the concepts of Darwinism struggle for survival, survival of the fittest, the strong individuals survive, which tend to crush the weak individuals. And the conflict is the cause of the progress has been the foundation, ideological foundation of the many ideologies of the 20th century, such as communism, fascism, anarchism, racism, and terrorism. I'll give you evidences. But the problem with Darwinism is it is not science, it is a pagan religion, because even a single protein, as you know, there are millions of different species, and there are made up trillions of different proteins. If you pick up a single protein molecule and to see if there is any possibility that a protein to emerge by chance in the nature, as evolutionists claim, is impossible, because for a single protein to be produced, other proteins, enzymes must exist. At least 100 different proteins, enzymes must exist before this protein is to be produced. Not only that, a DNA must exist, the organelles of a complete living cell must exist for a single protein to be produced, and this is the most powerful evidence which destroys Darwinism fundamentally. But also there are 350 million fossils. As you know, the only evidences of evolution could be found in the fossil record. Charles Darwin says that. And if you check the 350 million fossils, you see the species appear abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed. And there are no transitions, transitional forms, pathological and asymmetrical transitional forms between the species. And this is the second most powerful evidence which destroys Darwinism. I want to read a quote from Darwin. Darwin said that the species evolved to other species by successive minute variations. That is the claim of Charles Darwin. However, if you check the fossil record, you see there are no transitions between species. This is what Charles Darwin said in his book. Why did species have descended from other species by insensibly fine gradations? Do we not everywhere see innumerable transitional forms? He says, if evolution is a fact, why don't we see any transitional forms? And he goes on, why is not all nature in confusion instead of species being, as we see them, well-defined? But as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed. He says, they must exist if evolution is a fact. And he goes on, why do we not find them embedded in countless numbers in the crust of the earth? That means, he says, there are no transitional forms. If there are no transitional forms, that means no evolution. We don't have half fish, half reptile, half bird, pathological and asymmetrical forms. Species appear abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed. That means they are created by Allah, by God, all of a sudden, which is word B, not through evolution. So going back to your question, you said, Allah could create through evolution. Of course, Allah could create through evolution, but Allah did not, because we know this from the fossil record and we know this from the Quran. In the Quran, Allah gives the examples of sudden creation. For example, Allah gives, there are angels and jinn. Are they created through evolution? No, of course not. Musa aleyhisselam, he throws his staff on the ground and it all of a sudden transforms into a living snake. A wood staff, an inanimate matter, transforms all of a sudden, not through in millions of years, randomly and successively, all of a sudden transformed into a living being. Is that true evolution? No. Isa Aleyhisselam, Jesus, peace be upon him, he breathed into a mud, which is given shape of a bird, and by the leave of Allah, it transforms into a living bird. Is that true evolution? No. All of a sudden. Sudden transformation, sudden creation by Allah. And there are Huris, Gildans, and Gilmans in the paradise. Are they created through evolution? No, of course not. Adam Aleyhisselam, Allah says, Allah created Adam Aleyhisselam from mud. He gives Allah gave the shape of a human being, like a porcelain, and then breathes his soul, and all of a sudden, with his word be, it is created as Adam Aleyhisselam, as a human being. So, there are examples of sudden creation in the Quran. There is nothing about evolution in the Quran, and the scientific evidences refute the theory of evolution, the Darwinism. And so Darwinism is basically a pagan religion. It goes back to the time of the Sumerians and the Pharaoh of the Egypt. Because Pharaoh of the Egypt said the same thing. He said, living things evolved out of the mud of the Nile River. 3,000 years ago, he said that.
Okay. So when you talk about the, it's a transitional, meaning that, well, you said that there's no half this and half that. There's just, in other words, man is created, and man is created in his wholeness, or the human being is created in his wholeness. There's no, again, I guess you use the term, there's no transitional, there's no smaller thing, whatever that thing may be. For most people, they talk about apes or whatever. And then there's a gradual coming. But now with the human being, in other words, we the human being today, you know, we see these what I would call transitional photos or drawings of the human being sort of transforming his look over time. Is that what you consider, would that be part of creation, or is that maybe what you would throw into Darwinism, meaning our physical self as we are today, our heads, our mouths, or whatever, it is just shaped just the way it was. Adam's face and shape is ours, and ours is his. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I hope it does.
Yes, and in fact, we notice from the fossil record, as you know, Darwinists claim there is Australopithecus, Homo habilis, they say, Homo erectus, and Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens,
yes,
they say, the modern man.
About.
Okay.
Right.
Australopithecus, they say, the ancestor of man. However, even the most prominent Darwinist paleoanthropologists, such as Alan White and Alan Walker, and many of them, Darwinists, they accept that Australopithecus is just an ape, Homo habilis is an ape, Homo erectus and Homo sapiens are man, like us, no difference. Because Australopithecus has a very small skull, like 400, 500 cc's, exactly the same volume of the chimpanzees and the gorilla and other monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
It has closed eyes. It has a short stature with long arms and short legs, like any other ape.
Mm-hmm.
It has prominences in the hands and in the feet to grab the trees of the branches of the trees. And it has a stooped forward walking because the angle of the pelvic bone and vertebra is or makes it impossible to only walk stoop forward. And it is semicircular canals, has the angle, like all other apes, to walk stoop forward, like Homo habilis and Australopithecus. So they are apes. Homo erectus and Homo sapiens are just like us. We have a skull volume of 1,400 cc's, proportional arms and legs, and they can walk upright because we know this from the angle of the pelvic bone and the vertebra, and the angle of the semicircular canals are exactly the same as ours. That means they walk stoop forward. But the most importantly, the most important evidence is apes are animals and humans are humans is because humans have consciousness. We can build cities, we can make civilizations, and we can take the electron microscope and do research on our own bodies. We can do art, science, and technology, because humans have soul. And apes have been living in the forests for millions of years. They get born, they mate, they eat, they die, and they jump from trees to trees. So they're animals, and humans are humans. And Human Genome Project and Chimpanzee Genome Project are being finished. The difference is, according to the science that was published in the Nature magazine, is more than 4%. That means in 3 billion letters, human DNA has 3 billion letters, 3.2 billion letters. The difference is 120 million letters widespread in the DNA. This is a huge difference. And as the most importantly is that humans have consciousness, have soul, makes it is impossible to be transformed into human being, and we don't have any transitions. Like 350 million fossils shows us that there has never been evolution. There is no evolution. We have the fossil record. And I read you the quote from Charles Darwin. He says there are no transitional forms. But Stephen Jay Gould, the most prominent Darwinist paleontologist of the 20th century, Stephen Jay Gould is a Harvard paleontologist. He says there are no transitional forms. Niles Eldridge is a very prominent Darwinist paleontologist from the United States, also a museum curator. He says there are no transitional forms. All the evolutionists say and know that there are no transitional forms. That means no evolution. So Allah did not create through evolution.
So when we say creation, we're talking about, I mean, creation itself is a process. And so how do you, from a scientific point of view, then look at creation and how did a thing come about? You know what I'm saying to you, asking?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you look at we have to look at the scientific evidences, how creation happened, whether through evolution or all of a sudden. If you look at the fossil records for the living beings, the fossils are the remnants of the living beings which lived in the past. Only from the fossil record we can know how the living beings created in the past and when they were created. And 350 million fossils tells us that the species appeared abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed. And the first living cell, which is a cyanobacteria from Australia chert region, that is the oldest fossil of a living being, is a cyanobacteria. We have cyanobacteria today, and which can do photosynthesis. These are red and green algae. They can do photosynthesis. Appears all of a sudden 3.5 billion years ago as a complete and complex cell, living being, 3.5 billion years ago, and never changes for 3.5 billion years. Then we have about 500 million years ago, 540 million years ago, the Cambrian explosion, 50 different animal groups. The phylum appears all of a sudden, without any ancestors, any transitions, any evolution. All of a sudden, that's the reason why even the evolutionists call it Cambrian explosion. All of a sudden, 50 of them appear in the history of life. And in fact, they decrease to 35. That means, of course, no evolution and creation with the word be of Allah all of a sudden. And then we look at the scientific evidence from astronomy and physics. And we see 15 billion years ago, this is accepted by all the physicists throughout the world, Big Bang. Big Bang is a theory, scientific theory with scientific evidences. And Big Bang shows us that the entire universe, time, matter, and space was created 15 billion years ago out of nothingness. And the evidence for this is from 1925 by Edwin Hubble, the expansion of the universe. And then the cosmic background radiation, which is the remnant of the radiation from the time of the Big Bang, which is another very powerful evidence which proves the Big Bang, cosmic background radiation, which was discovered by NASA in 1989. NASA launched a satellite called COBE satellite and discovered this radiation in 8 minutes. And also another powerful evidence is hydrogen-helium ratio in the universe, which shows us the universe was not infinite as materialists claim, but had a beginning 15 billion years ago. So 15 billion years ago, the entire universe, matter, time, and space, was created out of nothingness with the word be of Allah. And in fact, these evidences of the Big Bang are in the Quran. Expansion of the universe is in the Quran. It's the scientific miracle of the Quran. And that Allah says, Allah created the heavens and earth out of nothingness. Allah originated heavens and earth, Allah says in the Quran. I seek refuge in Allah from my curse, Satan. And when Allah decides, in the same verse, Allah says, when Allah decides something, he just says to it, be, and there it is. So with the word be of Allah, the entire universe was created out of nothingness. These are the scientific evidences of sudden creation by Allah.
But we do believe that, and I'm sure scientifically, but we do believe that the universe from nothingness, what I'm gonna call been unfolding or expanding over time. This, I don't know, I thought you maybe said 3 billion years ago or something. And so the stars, the planets, and all of those things, again, I don't know what the word to use, but I keep going back to evolving over time. It was, the earth was not instantly here, was it? Or do we see it as it appeared at a certain time and juncture?
That's correct, yes. According to scientists, the age of the Earth is 4.6 billion years old, and the Big Bang happened 15 billion years ago. So at the beginning, we did not have the stars and galaxies, but the first process in after the Big Bang is the formation of the atoms, the electrons, the protons, and the atoms. And then the atoms coming together, Allah created the galaxies, the stars, and the planets, and our solar system. So, but this is not evolution, of course. This is stages of the creation of the universe. Evolution is different. According to the evolutionists, that makes the Darwinism as a pagan religion. They say life emerged by chance. But it is impossible, logically and scientifically. And we see the scientific evidences. Life emerged. And all of a sudden, the cyanobacteria, as I told you, 3.5 billion years ago, as a complex cell. As a complete cell. So other ways around is not possible. Even a single protein, you know, the single cell has, for example, thousands of different protein molecules. Even a single protein to emerge by chance, by natural events, is impossible because it requires other proteins. Other proteins must exist. The reason is, the scientific reason is, the scientific evidence is, proteins can only be produced by proteins. So proteins must exist before for a single protein to be produced. Not only that, a DNA must exist at the same time because the right code of the protein is coded in the DNA. The organelles of a cell, a complete living cell, must exist. That defeats Darwinism completely. That is. But you may ask why Darwinism is still defended. The reason why Darwinism is defended, all the scientific evidence is to keep atheism alive.
Keep atheism alive. I mean, because it can be confusing even to a believer. I mean, you know, I'm talking about a Muslim or, you know, I mean, it can be confusing even to us as we're studying. Because one, and let's say Darwinism, it is the most prevalent thing that we've been taught or gathered our information from. And then we, let's say, read Quran and we become a believer in God and that, quote, process. And what have you, it still can be confusing in the sense of you try to take your understanding, let's say, of Quran or what you believe Allah has done, and then try, especially from us non-scientific individuals, and try to bring it. So we still seem to, at least when I listened to your other interview, I found that, wow, I might still be believing in certain portions of evolution, and I shouldn't be. And when I was listening to the interview, but before I go with, well, the other thing was, is so when we read in Quran, and Allah says, I've created the heavens and the earth in six stages or eons, or how we translate in English. I don't know the Arabic term, but how do you see that, those six stages?
Yes, you're right. I mean, Allah says Allah created the heavens and earth in 6 days, or six stages, this can be taken. And this is compatible with the Big Bang theory. There are six different time stages in the Big Bang since 15 billion years. And also, even if it be 6 days, Allah gives also evidences of relativity of time in the Quran. For example, Allah says the one day is like 1,000 years and 50,000 years in the Quran. So time is relative. If Allah would, Allah means 6 days, these days are different than our 24-hour days, of course, because time is relative. You know that scientifically, even from Einstein's theory of relativity. But the bottom line is, there is in the Quran, there is all these evidences for the evidences for sudden creation. Allah does not need any cause. The problem with some Muslims is, and you are beyond that actually. I'm not talking about you, but Muslims shouldn't be falling into the trap of Darwinism. There is no middle way between Darwinism and Islam, because Darwinism rejects the existence of a creator. So we look at the scientific evidence, is whether Allah created through evolution or not, and then we have 350 million fossils, 350 million evidences that shows us species appear abruptly complete and perfectly formed. That means Allah did not create through evolution. There is no question of creation through evolution. But the other thing is, Muslims are obliged to do an intellectual struggle against Darwinism, because Darwinism is the foundation of atheism, materialism, and the perverted ideologies of the 20th century, communism, fascism, anarchism, and terrorism, and racism. Because
wouldn't it also be, you know you said materialism, but the whole capitalist, not that against, you know, people making profit, but the whole issue of it is like we should just be using up the resources. And we do have a question on the board here, but that we can just be using up our resources, because this is just a temporary kind of a thing. There's nothing, we have no sort of responsibility to it. I don't know if that's a good way to put that. Let me get the questioner online. 317, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Ron Foster Sharif calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. Brother Doctor, I have a question. What is your position on the fact, on not the fact, but on the position that scientists take that a man himself shares 99% of the same DNA with simian life forms?
Okay, I explained, alaikum salam, brother, first of all, to our listener. And I explained to you that it was published in the Nature magazine. The Chimpanzee Genome Project and Human Genome Project are being finished. And the difference is not the 99%, as evolutionists claimed before, but it found out even less than 96%. So if you accept it as a 4% difference, that means 120 million letters in the DNA, which consists of 3.2 billion letters, it is a huge difference. It is impossible for a DNA, for a gene, let alone the DNA, for a gene to transform into another gene through mutations. It is impossible. It is like something like this. For example, if you take a book and change the letters of the words of the sentences of this book, randomly, you always come out that with some meaningless words, if you do it too many times, some meaningless sentences, and if you do it too many times, a meaningless book, entire book. It is impossible to transform a book into another book. For example, a book of histology or a book of biology, you cannot transform this book by random changes of the letters into a book of medicine or into a book of history. Everybody knows that. But the evolutionists claim, yes, it can be changed, but this doesn't make any sense. And then if you ask the most prominent evolutionists, for example, including Richard Dawkins, he was asked a simple question to show a positive mutation which seems to include the information in the genome. That was in a live program, and it is in the YouTube. Everybody can take a look at it. He cannot answer this question for 20 seconds, and he stops the recording. But according to Darwinism, there should be trillions of positive mutations, but he cannot even name a single positive mutation which can increase the information in the genome. Means, of course, mutations cannot generate new genes, new proteins, new organs, brand new species. We know this from the fossil record, and we know these scientific facts from the genetics. In fact, Darwinists have done experiments 60 years in the laboratories on the fruit flies and the bacteria. They radiated them, and they generated millions of different mutations. They could not even show a single positive, single mutation which could be beneficial for the living being. They were always damaging. They were always harmful. That means no evolution, of course.
Mm-hmm. So there's no, and I'm going to say power or entity within the thing itself to begin to mutate or transform itself into something that it is not presently.
Exactly. Of course not. And life cannot start by chance. We know this today scientifically. It is impossible because for even a single cell to exist, it must have all the components, the organelles exist at the same time. So if a single organelle of a cell, for example, there is ribosomes, which are protein factories, mitochondria power stations, or DNA, or Golgi apparatus, these are the organelles. If any one of these organelles fails to function or is missing, the cell cannot remain alive. Therefore, the first cell on Earth must be a complete cell, possessing all these required functions and organelles, and this definitely means the cell has to be created, of course. And if you check the fossil record, you come across the cyanobacteria, as I told you, which is a very complex bacteria which can do photosynthesis and appears all of a sudden 3.5 billion years ago, not slowly, step by step, as evolution claims, but all of a sudden as a complete cell. That means, of course, it is created and the species appear abruptly and complete and perfectly. This is, shows us, proves us very powerfully that Allah created them with His word be and all of a sudden. Not through evolution. Allah did not create through evolution.
So for the listener and myself, so a single cell has, I'm just using a number, has 15 independent components that if any one of these 15 components is missing, the cell ceases to be. Is that generally what you're saying?
Exactly, yes. For example, if we cannot imagine a cell which lacks the power station, the mitochondria. There cannot be a cell which cannot have a protein factories. There cannot be a cell without the DNA. They must exist, but they must be perfect at the same time. And there is no step-by-step formation because anything which is reduced to a more primitive stage is dysfunctional. So it must exist in a perfect form at the same time, in the same place, and we have the evidence of this from the fossil record. So Darwinism is dead at this moment.
Okay. So just first of all, just back, I say back up, but give us, I mean, Dr. Huran Yahya, he writes on many of these scientific things from Quran and what have you. I mean, you know, I've read some of his books before. Give us some of the subject matters in which he deals in and for the audience can understand. And then we also want to tell you his website as well. Where can they go and get more information?
All right. He attaches much importance, as I said before, that to Darwinism. The reason is, and I want to give some scientific evidences of this also. Darwinism's concept are the foundation of communism, fascism, anarchism, terrorism, racism, and wild capitalism. This is the evidence. For example, Karl Marx, which is the founder of the communism, he used the same concepts of Darwinism, struggle for survival, strong individuals to crush the weak individuals, and the conflict is the cause of the progress. And he said, Darwinism is the dialectics of the nature, and he applied this concept into societies as the struggle for between the classes as dialectical materialism. So he used Darwinism as the dialectics of the nature and said communism is the dialectical materialism. And he said in one of his letters, this is a quote from Karl Marx, he says for Charles Darwin's book, this is the book which contains the basis in natural history for our view. In another letter he said, Darwin's book is very important and serves me as a basis in natural science for the class struggle in history. So he applied these concepts of Darwinism into Marxism. 150 million people were killed. Stalin was a Darwinist. Mao said Chinese socialism is founded upon Darwinism and the theory of evolution. He killed 60 million people. So 150 million people were killed because of the communism and its ideological foundation, Darwinism. What about fascism? You know, Hitler, he got the ideas of racism from Charles Darwin because Charles Darwin was a racist himself. In his book, The Descent of Man, Charles Darwin said, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man, according to him, the civilized races was white European man. He said the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate. Look at, I want you to pay attention to that. He says, will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. At the same time, the anthropomorphous apes will no doubt be exterminated. The break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state, as we may hope, even than the Caucasian, and the some ape as low as a baboon instead of as now between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. So according to Charles Darwin, there was white European man, and he thought white European man is the more evolved animals, most evolved animals, and all other races such as Turks, blacks, Africans, Aborigines, Eskimos, Australians, Orientals were lower races which are close to monkeys. And he said white European man will exterminate the lower races. And these ideas were taken by Adolf Hitler and applied into the fascism and Nazism. This is what Adolf Hitler said, for example, take away the Nordic Germans and nothing remains but the dance of apes. He killed, during his time, 85 million people were killed. So racism comes from Darwinism, communism, fascism, anarchism, and terrorism. 350 million people were killed. These are official numbers in the 20th century. 20th century is the most bloodiest century of the entire human history. So now we are living in the end times. This is the time for the Mahdi alayhi salam, and this is the time for Jesus. He is present in the world. Mahdi is present in the world because we understand this from the science given in the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More than 150 signs stated in the hadith, they came all to be true. That means Mahdi is alive and Isa alayhi salam, Jesus is alive, and the world is changing. We can understand that. It is all the signs stated in the hadith, such as the occupation of the Afghanistan, bloody attack to the Kaaba, Iran-Iraq war, occupation of the Afghanistan, a Halley comet, looting comet, the sun and moon eclipses in the month of Ramadan, more than 150 signs, including the economic crisis or uprising in the Muslim countries, which is happening now, all stated in the hadith, that shows us Allah is changing the world. And Allah will trail his religion, Islam, through Mahdi alayhi salam, and as his vizier, Isa alayhi salam. Mahdi alayhi salam is described in detail by our prophet. And for the time his emergence, his Hijrah 1400 is given, which is 980, the end of 979 and 980. This is his time for when people will start accumulate around Mahdi, our prophet said. So Mahdi must be alive. And it's where he is going to be active is given in also in the hadith. The state, the city is given as Constantinople in the hadith. There are at least 10 hadiths stating that Istanbul is the place where he is going to be active. So for about 40 years, according to the great Islamic scholar, Sayyid Nursi, for about 40 years, he will be active until Islam will prevail the world. But Isa alayhi salam will be active secretly at the beginning until everybody will see him and all around the world and love him. But he will be active secretly. Now, we are living in this period. Inshallah, in mostly 10 years, we will see Mahdi alayhi salam, we will see Isa alayhi salam, and we will see Islam prevailing the world. Because unity of Islam is going to happen, inshallah, and Islamic morality will prevail the entire world. There will be no blood, bloodshed, according to the hadith, inshallah. Complete justice, peace, democracy, freedom of thought, good morality, tolerance, brotherhood will prevail the entire world, inshallah. And we are living in these times. There will be progress of the science, technology, and arts, which has never been seen before, and wealth of the people, and complete justice, inshallah. And these times are very close by. And these are the glad tidings from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will also see that Darwinism and materialism, communism will be eradicated intellectually, completely, inshallah. And there will be not, our Prophet says, Mahdi alayhi salam will not even shed a single drop of blood, will not awaken a person who is sleeping, and will not cause nosebleed. That means no wars, no weapons, and complete and peace all around the world, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. I want to ask a question though about Darwin, I guess himself. Do you think, or is there evidence that, I mean, Darwin really set out to, I guess, create this kind of a confusion, or was he just a really an individual who was honestly trying to study, but just got misguided? Was he some part of some diabolical plan, or was he just, again, an innocent person who would just set out to look at, let's say, God's creation, but philosophically was misguided. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to read, this is the answer from Charles Darwin himself, actually. I'm going to read a quote from Charles Darwin. This is what he said. He said, "This belief crept over me at a very slow rate, but was at last complete." So he said, "I'm a disbeliever, and it was a complete at last," he said. So he knew that evolution is not a fact, because there are many quotes in his books that he admitted there are no transitional forms. Or thinking about the eye makes me cold all over, he said, for example, because he knows the eye is irreducibly complex and it only can be created by Allah. And there is another, actually, quote that I want to read you right now that shows us his mentality. This is what Charles Darwin said in his book, Origin of Species. "This conviction in the existence of the God," he says, "follows from the extreme difficulty, or rather impossibility, of conceiving this immense and wonderful universe, including man, with his capacity of looking far backwards and far into futurity as the result of blind chance or necessity." So he knew there must be a creator. But in order to deny the existence of a creator, although he knows there are no scientific evidences of evolution, he wrote his book, Origin of Species, and he was supported by the materialist circles of that time. For example, he was supported by Karl Marx. The reason is Karl Marx was looking for a scientific cover for his ideology of communism. When he saw, but false scientific cover, of course, because it's Darwinism is not a fact. When he saw the original species, he said, "This is the basis in natural history for our view." So he supported Charles Darwin immediately. And he dedicated his book, Das Kapital, to Charles Darwin. He said, "From the admirer of Charles Darwin, Karl Marx," he signed it. So he was supported by the materialist circles of his time. And Darwinism controlled 99% of the world in the 20th century, not only the Western world, but also the Muslim countries, because Ottoman Empire was controlled by Darwinism. Ottoman Empire collapsed. Darwinism controlled Iraq, the Saddam regimes. Palestine became Marxist and Darwinist. Egypt, at the time of Nasser, became Arab socialist, which means a milder form of Marxism, Marxist, Darwinist, and materialist. Tunisia, Jordan, and that's the reason why Muslims separated and Muslims being oppressed all over the world. But Allah says in the Quran, for the Muslims, "This is an order from Allah. I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan." Allah says, "Hold fast to the rope of Allah." The rope of Allah is Quran. Allah says, "Hold fast to the Quran all together and do not separate," Allah says. So separation is haram. But the reason, the cause of separation is because of Darwinism and materialism. Because of Darwinism, the faith of the Muslims became weaker and weaker, and they distanced away from religion, from Quran, and they got separated and they got oppressed.
Well,
now, in the times of the Mahdi, inshallah.
But that's why I say I think that for a lot of people, Muslims in particularly, I'm speaking of, you know, we can be confused because, you know, sometimes it can sound like what we read in the Quran, and we don't sometimes know the difference, and scientifically we're not that maybe astute. We don't have clearly as much as information as you have, but sometimes we don't even have, you know, minute or the wherewithal, the mind, the spirit to even go and begin to research these things. First of all, before we go any further, I want to give you Dr. Huran Yahya's site, where you can go and find out more information and find out about his books. I really encourage you to use and read his books. And they're on many, many subject matters, many subject matters. Edward, so the website is harunyahya.com. harunyahya.com. And you can go to that location. And I think, don't they have a lot of articles you can download or read there too, Dr. Babuna?
Yes. Our brothers and sisters can download his books free of charge, 300 books, which are translated to 75 languages. This is the English website that you are given, harunyahya.com. They can download his 300 books free of charge. And there are hundreds of documentaries they can download free of charge. And it is obligation of every Muslim brother and sister to do an intellectual struggle against irreligious philosophies, because these are the cause of the corruption in the entire world. But this is the time of the Mahdi alayhi salam, so we cannot sit back and wait for the Mahdi alayhi salam doing his own action. We have to help him to establish the grounds for Jesus, peace be upon him, Isa alayhi salam. And this is an intellectual struggle in the end times with scientific evidences. So they can use his books, they can use his website, they can use his documentaries free of charge to gain the great pleasure of Allah, inshallah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. We definitely encourage you to do so. Some of the topics, and I know some of them that I've read anyway, have to deal with, and I say science, but I know I've seen some on molecular microbiology, I guess, sort of, where he talks about cells and gives us that kind of structure. He talks about animals and various kinds of things, I guess, information that will help you, or at least become more astute, I guess, if nothing else. All right, I think we have Ron Foster. You're back with a question, Ron?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Brother Doctor, how do you respond to some of the scientists' position that the reason why there's no alternative, no transitional forms evidence in the fossil records was because it didn't, the evolutionary process didn't proceed in a linear fashion. It actually proceeded in a series of fits and pitches and leaps. And the second question, in your estimation, how old is man? Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
All right, yeah. But the evolution, this is the claim of evolution is there should be successive-minded, the assertion of evolutionist Darwinism is there should be successive-minded variations between species. Species evolved to other species by successive-minded variations, and this happened over billions of years. So then, of course, then we have to see these successive minor changes in the fossilized examples. And we have to see half fish, half reptile, half bird transitions, pathological and asymmetrical forms. And these imaginary forms are called transitional forms. There cannot be a jump from species to species. If species appear abruptly, complete and perfectly formed, of course, that means they are created by Allah. And this is admitted by the most prominent evolutionist of the world, and I want to give you an example of this, who is Douglas Futuma from the United States. He is number second evolutionist of the world. Douglas Futuma said, organisms either appeared on Earth fully developed or they did not. So he says, organisms either appear through evolution or not. If they did not, he says, they must have developed from pre-existing species by some process of modification. And he goes on. Futuma goes on, if they did appear in a fully developed state, they must indeed have been created by some omnipotent intelligence. So that is what Darwinists say, actually. If the species appear, the living beings appear all at once, fully formed, that means they are created by Allah. So Allah did not create re-evolution because species appear abruptly, complete and perfectly formed. How do we know that? We know this from 350 million fossils.
I want to encourage everybody on the line and at your computer or wherever you may be. If you want to ask Dr. Baibuna a question, please press 1 on your phone. That will bring you into the queue, as well as if you're at your computer, I think there's a click to talk button, or you can dial 646-716-4478, and inshallah, that will bring you and hook you to our switchboard, and then press 1, and we'll be able to ask the question of Dr. Baibuna, who, again, is our guest calling all the way in from Istanbul, Turkey, this morning. What time is it in Istanbul? It got to be in the afternoon or evening?
Yes, it's about 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
In the afternoon. 3 p.m.,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Alhamdulillah. you got a question here. Let's see here. Area code 678. You're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Imam Muhammad Abdullah, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, Dr. Baybuna, I'm actually joining late. I was actually online looking for it, and this is kind of new to me, so forgive me if you've already addressed this in your dissertation. But the question I had was, if you are asked a question about how do you rebut the evolution theory, what would be a short answer? That man evolved from apes.
Yes. That is the claim of the Darwinism, and Darwinism is not supported by scientific evidences. That means it is a pagan religion because it did not start with Charles Darwin. It goes to the time back of back of the time of the Sumerians and the Pharaoh of the Egypt and ancient Greece. That the religion of the time of the Pharaoh of the Egypt was that the living beings emerged by chance through evolution out of the mud of the Nile River. So it is the greatest bigotry and the greatest lie of the entire human history. But the problem with Darwinism is it brings harm to any society it goes in. Whenever Darwinism goes into a society, the concepts of Darwinism, struggle for survival, and the strong individuals crush the weak individuals, and the conflict is the cause of the progress. And these ideas were applied into communism, fascism, racism, anarchism, and terrorism, violence and terrorism. That is the reason why 20th century has become the bloodiest century of the entire human history. When somebody speaks about Darwinism, you can give two very powerful evidences. You don't have to know anything else, but you say even a single protein to emerge by chance is impossible because other proteins must exist. A complete living cell must exist. That destroys Darwinism completely. And there are 350 million fossils, and there are no transitional forms. That means no evolution. In fact, Mr. Adnan Oktar, Mr. Harun Yahya, pays $7 million American dollars. Anybody who brings even a single transitional form, and he declared this to the world media 4 years ago. That was in American media, that was in European media, in Turkish media. Nobody has appeared yet since 4 years. So a year ago, he changed his offer. He said, okay, I pay still $7 million American dollars to anybody who cannot bring a single transitional form, but he can bring the picture of a transitional form, but nobody has appeared. Because there are no transitional forms. And no transitional forms means, of course, no evolution.
Dan, anyone else, please press 1 on your phone, and that'll bring you into the queue. We're talking to Dr. Ahmed Baybuna. And yourself, you're a medical doctor. What medicine, and what is your practice? What is your...
I'm a neurosurgeon, a brain surgeon. My education is from New York University, University of California, San Francisco, and University of California, Berkeley. And I'm a neurosurgeon, brain surgeon.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Dr. Baybuna, so the dinosaur era, that was sort of one of those stages of the development of the world, as we know it, or... is dinosaurs, I say myth, but not that I think they were myth, I guess, but what, how do we place some of these, I guess, species that we hear about and talk about?
Well, dinosaurs definitely existed because we have the fossils of the dinosaurs. And you might have seen in the museums, they are real fossils and they belong to dinosaurs. So dinosaurs are huge and very cute animals. They existed about 60 million years, until 60 million years ago, and they became extinct. The reason is the change in the climate and the conditions of the world, because they say, the scientists say, a meteor hit the Earth, and that caused the dinosaurs became extinct. So they lived in the past. They definitely lived in the past because we have the fossils, and they became extinct. In fact, according to scientists, 99% of the species became extinct, and the species we have today consist of only 1% of the species which live in the entire human history, entire history, actually. So there are many species which became extinct, but the fossils, we know from the fossils, Allah is the creator, and Allah is created with all of a sudden, which is what be. So Muslims should not fall into the trap of Darwinism. There is no middle way between Darwinism and Islam. So Muslims do not behave according to the majority. That is a very ugly, otherwise there would be a very ugly behavior. We behave according to the Quran and the scientific evidences. So, but the problem with Darwinism is, again, it is a pagan religion. So there is no middle path between Islam and Darwinism. Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't really thought, I guess, much about it, definitely recently, and how you were saying that this is then in history, economics, in a lot of different places, and so forth. So how do I say? Well, I guess it's still a thing of is it's so prevalent throughout society. It's hard for us not to have some remnants of this philosophy in our thinking. And how do we begin to render it? But you don't have to answer my question. I'm going to bring this other questioner on, but get back to mine, I guess. But anyway, 618, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Ahmed Ghani. I'm calling from East St. Louis. And Dr.
Hello.
Ahmed Babana, I would like to know specifically in the Quran, where can we get the best beginning of God's man creation? What surah in the Quran can we get the best of God's man creation?
Yes, Allah tells us actually how Adam alayhi salam, the first man, was created by Allah. Allah says, Allah shaped the clay, the mud, like a human being. With his, Allah says, I shaped it with my two hands. This is, of course, Allah does not have two hands as we understand, but just to make it understandable and to make us understand, Allah says, Allah shaped clay like kind of porcelain, for example, human being, human shape. And then Allah says, I breathe my soul. So we have a soul. And that makes us different from any other living being, all the animals, for anything, inanimate matter. We have a soul. We can think again. We can do arts, science. We can judge. We can think. We can speak. That makes us very different because we have a soul. And with his word be, Allah created Adam alayhi salam, all of a sudden, not through evolution. And in fact, we see the fossils of man which lived in the past. Homo erectus, I told you, and Homo sapiens are exactly the same as people living in today, which goes back several hundred thousand years ago. But we cannot exactly know when Adam alayhi salam, exactly the year it was created. But what we know for sure is Allah created Adam alayhi salam, the first man, all of a sudden. And it the word and breathed his soul, and that makes us different. But the soul, the existence of the soul is, it's just something which cannot be explained by Darwinism and materialism. That's the reason why Darwinists never talk about the soul. In fact, we know scientifically, this is a scientific fact. For example, if you see, for example, you're looking at your laptops, you're sitting in a room, and you have a colorful three-dimensional view. The way you see is technically the photons, which are particles emitted by the atoms, which is not light itself, the photons. Trillions of photons shower our eyes and go and hit our retina, the nerve layer of our eye, and are transformed into electric signals in our eyes. The electric signals travel, only electric signals travel in our brains. It is complete darkness. And these electric signals are converted by the center of vision, which is in the back of our brain, which is a lentil-sized area, which is a very small area, into a three-dimensional colorful view. But technically and scientifically, there is no light outside, and there is no color outside. We know this from the structure of the atoms, because 99% of the atoms is nothingness. The atoms are transparent, and there is no color outside. Even the sun is, there is complete darkness outside. So the transparency of the atoms, this is a technical fact. However, our eyes are blind. We don't see with our eyes. There is a small area of our brain which the electric signals are converted into three-dimensional colorful view and also into sound. There is no sound outside. There is only vibration of atoms outside, of the air molecules. And the electric signals are converted into sound, into musical sound or human sound, for example. So there must be an inner eye which can see. There must be an inner ear which can hear. There must be an inner nose, inner tongue which can taste, and inner hand which can touch. And that is our soul. Soul is not matter. Soul is something beyond matter, and which destroys the existence of the soul, destroys Darwinism, eradicates Darwinism and materialism completely, and proves the fact of creation by Allah. Because all these perceptions. We are only direct contact with our perceptions in our mind. These perceptions are created by Allah, the creator of the system we call Allah, inshallah. This is a scientific and technical fact.
So the, it's about the soul. But well, let me go back to the man who you were just talking about. And so are we to take the forming of the man by mud or the human being as a physical something or more of a spiritual symbolic story?
No, Allah says, Allah shaped mud, clay, gave the shape of a human being, then he breathed his soul. So we have our bodies, but our bodies are perceptions that exist at the level of perception in our mind. That means, of course, there is matter outside, but we can never be in contact with the real existence of the matter. There is no light outside, as I explained. This is a scientific fact. There is no color outside because of the structure of the atoms. But we see colorful in a three-dimensional way. That means, of course, that is an interpretation. That is a perception of our soul. But matter exists outside, but we can be never in direct contact with the matter outside. We are only in direct contact with our perceptions in our minds.
Okay. Now, what I was kind of meaning more of the physical development of the human being from mud, i.e. into cells and bone and so forth and so on. Are we to take the concept or the story in the Quran forming from mud more symbolically versus factually, that we're actually from mud and mud turned into skin? Did that make sense what I'm asking?
Well, Allah says in one verse, for example, in Surah Al-An'am, in verse number 2, Allah says, it is He who, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah says, it is He who created from clay and then decreed a fixed term. And another fixed term is specified with him. Yet you still have that. So Allah says, Allah created you from clay. That is a fact from the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And in another verse, Allah says, for example, you created me from fire. Satan says that in the Quran. You created me from fire, and you created him from clay. Clay is, as you know, clay. It's an inanimate matter.
Right.
And there are in many verses. In several verses, Allah says humans are created out of clay. Allah says, for example, in the Surah 15, verse 26, we created mankind out of a dried clay formed from fitted black mud. And Allah, and Allah says Allah gave the best shape. In fact, we have the best, very good shape, the best shape, because we have perfect symmetry in our bodies, symmetrical eyes, symmetrical face, and which is created with the golden ratio. Golden ratio is a number, 1.618. That is from mathematics. And Allah created human face with golden ratio, the naturalist, the animals with the golden ratio, the face of the tigers with the golden ratio, the plant, sunflower, for example, with the golden ratio. The spirals of the galaxies are created by golden ratio. That is kind of like a signature of a creator. It is Allah created with a perfect symmetry, and with the golden ratio, and given the best shape.
And the golden ratio is what? Maybe I might have missed it.
Yeah, the golden ratio is a number which was discovered by Fibonacci, a mathematician which lived in the centuries, 400 years back in Italy. He discovered in mathematics some numbers. I will explain what is that means. For example, if you put zero, start with zero, then you put number one next to it, and you add these two numbers, it becomes 0 plus 1 is 1. Then you put 1 next to 1, and then you add the last two numbers. 1 to 1 is 2. You put 2 next to 1. And then you add the last two numbers, 1 and 2. This is 3. You put 3. You do it constantly, and then every time you divide the last number to the previous number, you get a ratio which is 1.618. That's the number you get. And that is called golden ratio, because you find this number. For example, in human faces, if you proportion it, you can do this. The length of your face to the width of your face, you get the proportion 1.618. Or in flowers, in plants, we get the same number. In the faces of the tigers, in our fingers, for example, in our inner ear, for example, in the inner ear, we get the this golden ratio. So golden ratio we find not only in the living beings, but for example, in the snowflakes also, the golden ratio. So that means there is a common creator, because if we find this number in all the living beings and even the snowflakes, that means Allah created all of them with the perfect symmetry in the golden ratio. That is an evidence of creation, of course.
Okay, now we've got some other questions here. I do believe this. And let me say 678. Would you press 1 on your phone? You have another question. Press 1 and then come back into the queue, and then we'll go from there. I think 618, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Ahmed Ghani. I appreciate that information from Dr. Babuna. You know, in America here, you know, we was given a concept of man being created in Genesis 1:26. And also I heard a learned Islamic scholar say that if you wanted to compare Genesis 1:26, where it says God made man, no, it said let us make man in our image. And the way you compare that statement in Genesis 1:26, you compare it with the statement in Surah 4, Ayat 1, when Allah says, Minasim Wahida, he made man from one single soul. Can you comment on that, opposed to Genesis 1:26, where it says, let us make man, and in Surah 4, Ayat 1, where it says, Allah made us from one single person or one single soul. I like the terminology of one single source, because I think it puts it into a better perspective than identifying with any kind of a personification as we've been given in this society.
Thank you.
Okay.
And again,
yeah.
Press 1 and come back into the queue for another question. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is, let me read the verse from the Quran, actually, that our brother mentioned. I seek refuge in Allah from my curse, Satan. That is Surah number 4, and Surah An-Nisa, verse number 1. Allah says, O mankind, have taqwa of your Lord, who created you from a single self, and created its mate from it, and then disseminated many men and women from the two of them. Have taqwa of Allah, in whose name you make demands on one another, and also in respect of your families. Allah watches over you continually. So Allah says, your Lord, who created you from a single self and created its mate from it. So that's what Allah says. So Allah created Adam a.s. first. Then Allah created his wife. And Allah created all the human beings from Adam a.s. and his wife.
Okay. Right, then the next questioner is area code 248. You're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Naeem Sabir from Detroit, Michigan. My question this morning is pertaining to the book of Genesis also, like the previous caller. And that is, some Christians say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, or something to that effect. My question is, they relate that to being Jesus, and we're taught that Adam was the first man, but they say that Jesus was the first being that God created. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, it's a definite fact from the Quran. Adam alayhi salam is the first human being, and we know Jesus alayhi salam is the prophet of Allah, and he lived about 2,000 years ago when there are many millions of people were existing at his time, actually. He was not the first man, but he's the prophet of Allah. But the miracle of Jesus alayhi salam, which is given in the Quran as a definite fact, is Isa alayhi salam is returning back in the end times to the earth. So he did not die, he is not dead, he was taken to the presence of Allah, that is a fact from the Quran, and he is returning back in the end times, and he is not the first man. The first man, according to the Quran, is Adam alayhi salam, inshallah.
Well, a follow-up question. How do you deal with that when he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, they refer that Word as being Jesus, and then in the Quran it mentions Jesus as being the Word in the Quran also?
Okay.
Allah is infinite. Allah was not given birth, and Allah does not give birth. So Allah is infinite. Allah exists infinite times. Time is only dimension for us. So humans are created, and our infinite life is created as an infinite fraction of a single moment by Allah. So there is no time, actually, absolute time. Time is a perception. So Allah is beyond time. So Allah created not only Jesus, but all the entire humanity with His word be, and it is an infinite fraction of a single moment, because there is no time at the presence of Allah. Allah is beyond any dimension. Allah is beyond time. Allah is beyond space. Space is a perception for us.
Okay, again, let me say the sick error code 618 and 248. Press 1 on your phone. Come back into the queue. And then, inshallah, we'll get you back in if you have a question. 618, press 1 on your phone. Take you out of the queue. Error code 510. You're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Jim Hoffman from California. This is a wonderful conversation, and it brings two things to mind in some of the answers that were given previously. The Quranic verse, it talks, where Allah talks about created man in the best of molds. When you were talking about the Quran, meaning the number, that symmetry and that specification, it brought that to mind for me. And could you speak more on that? And then the other hadith was brought to mind when you were talking about visual perceptions and how it goes and enters the brain and interacts with a certain area of the brain to produce the color, the sound. And it reminded me of the hadith where, or the saying that from Allah that states, I am to my servant as he sees me to be. Is there a connection there?
Yes, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The symmetry, and which is also a very powerful evidence of creation by Allah, because according to Darwinism, there should be chance is the creator of everything. Actually, Darwinism worships chance as a creator, but chance, randomness, always brings harm. It does not generate symmetry, but random mutations, which is an imaginary mechanism of, according to Darwinists, only generate asymmetry and pathology. And we know this, for example, there are 10,000 genetic diseases which exist in the human beings, which causes cancer, pathology, and asymmetry, and death. Mutations are only harmful, and they generate asymmetry. Symmetry is a very powerful for evidence for creation by Allah. And also the golden ratio that I've given you, that is a very powerful evidence of creation by Allah also. And in fact, humans are created, our souls are created to find beautiful if we see the golden ratio in the living beings. That is our souls, ourselves are created to like this golden ratio, 1.618. For example, if golden ratio is damaged, there is a ratio of 1.8 or 1.9, or not 1.618 golden ratio, or 1.2 or 1, for example, then we don't like that. We don't find it aesthetic, because we are created to love the golden ratio, creation by golden ratio and symmetry. So that is an evidence for creation by Allah. And the other question of our sister is, and I say also, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to her, to our sister, or brother, I'm sorry. And the way we see in our brains, I explained to you, our eyes are blind. We don't see with our eyes. Eyes only convert the photons, the signals of the photons, into electric signals. That's the role of the eye. And the electric signals travel in the optic nerve, the nerve axons in our brain. But there is complete darkness in the brain. There is no light in the brain. So there are only electric signals of the photons, and there are electric signals of the vibration of the air molecules, which comes from our ears. Our ears are also deaf. They cannot hear. They only convert the signals from outside into electric signals. And these electric signals are interpreted in our brains, in a very small area of our brains, into three-dimensional colorful view, into music sound, into taste, into the smell of the roses, for example, or perfumes, and it transformed into touch, the perception of touch. So, but then, of course, the question follows. Is there an inner eye which can see? Is there an inner ear which can hear? And there is an inner hand which can touch, an inner nose and inner tongue? Yes, the answer is yes, because since we see, we hear, we touch, and this is an interpretation of the brain, there must be an inner eye which can see. This is our soul. We know the existence of the soul from the Quran, because Allah tells us that Allah breathes his soul. But Allah says also, there is little information given about the soul, so we cannot conceive the existence, the real existence of the soul. But we know we are, humans are created as souls. We have soul, which makes us conscious, which we can think, we can judge, and we can see, and we can hear, and we can touch. That is our soul. And the existence of the soul is a definite proof of the existence of Allah. And if it is also destroys the materialism and Darwinism completely, that's the reason why Darwinists never talk about the existence of the soul. But it's a scientific fact. It's a logical and scientific fact, the existence of the soul. And it is a very powerful evidence for the existence of Allah, inshallah, infinite existence of Allah.
Before we move to the next caller and everybody, and again, 510, please press 1 on your phone, take you out of the queue and come back. Would we think of animals, a cat or whatever, is there a soul, or what is the interworkings we would perceive to be of an animal other than a human being?
They love animals. They are so cute. Imagine the kitties, the cats, the doggies, the horses. They are very beautiful. But humans only have the souls, Allah says. Allah breathes soul to the human beings. So animals have, they show very intelligent behaviors. For example, the spider's web or the spider's silk cannot be duplicated by even our 21st century's technology. Or the behaviors of the bees. They can dance and they can give the address of the nectar source through dancing, which is kilometers.
Oh, Dr. Baybona?
Better our navigation systems, and they can go and find it, the exact point of nectar source, the other bees. So, the behaviors, intelligent behaviors of the termites or the ants or many other animals. But Allah gives the information, how do they behave? Because Allah says in one verse.
We're losing you, Dr. Baybona. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, you faded out on us.
Okay, the way the animals behave, Allah says in this way, and Allah gives an example. Allah says in one verse, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah inspired the honeybee, Allah says. So the way they show these...
You're going out on us again. Hopefully you can hear me.
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. And the way the animals behave, Allah says, is through inspiration of Allah, because Allah says, Allah inspired the honeybee. So they show intelligent behaviors, but they do not have souls. So they don't have any consciousness. They do not build cities. they cannot do science and research like us.
Mm-hmm.
Only human beings have soul. Allah mm-hmm.
says. Okay. Error code 317. You're, I believe, back on American Muslim 360.
Yes, sir. Brother Doctor, I have two questions, and they are really of equal importance. The first question involves the use of the Hubble telescope and various other technologies, along with the SETI program, in its search to look for Goldilocks zones throughout the universe and the existence and the possibility of life on other worlds. Number one, what is your opinion of that? Number two, as you well know, life on Earth is based on carbon. What is your opinion of the theoretical discussion that there may exist life elsewhere in the universe in a system based on silicon? Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
You can respond to the brother's two questions that he had for you.
Yes. The first question was, that is there any possibility that there is life existing in any part of the universe? Well, Allah has infinite power. So, of course, if Allah wants, there is life in another part of the universe. We don't know, but it is possible because Allah has infinite power. In fact, our universe could be only one in many infinite other universes. So Allah has infinite power. His existence is infinite, inshallah. He has infinite power. So life could exist, but we don't have any evidence, but it is possible, of course, inshallah, because Allah has infinite power. What was the second question?
I think the second question had to do with we're based on carbon. It also had to do with another life. I assume the question was more like, in other words, we're a carbon based creation. Would there be another creation and not of carbon? Baker, well, here he is again. Let him ask the question.
Yes, sir. The question was that, as you well know, life on Earth is based on carbon. Now, there's also a theoretical discussion going on about the possibility of life elsewhere in the universe based on silicon. What is your opinion of that discussion? Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, and life is actually not dependent of any atom or matter itself. Matter is created by Allah. And the cause of the life is the reflection epithet high of Allah. High means the owner of life. So life can only start, continue, and end by His will through reflection epithet of high of Allah. High means owner of the life. So Allah can use any material He wants to, or without any material. For example, there is angel and jinn. Are they created through carbon or any other matter? No, of course not. Allah says jinn are created through fire, and Allah created angels, and they are not created of any matter. So Allah is not dependent on anything. Allah has infinite power and create anything any way He wants to, inshallah.
Okay. Area code 609, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Ada from New Jersey, and I'm interested, first of all, in the website being repeated and slowly. And the other question was, in the symmetry that you were talking about, can all of this be downloaded?
Well, let me go ahead and give you the website just for your purposes. It is haruniyaha.com. All right, brother, Dr. Baybuna.
Yes. Well, Allah created the living beings in perfect symmetry. The cause of symmetry is, for example, there is a genetic code. There are genes which controls the symmetry in human beings or in any other living beings. They are called Hox genes. They control which part of the body is coming out, which part of the body, which is controlled by these genes, and in a symmetrical way, there is a symmetry, because it is impossible for chance, as Darwinism claims, to produce symmetry. whenever a mutation happens into a gene, in the genes, in the Hox genes, for example, or in another, in any gene, it only generates pathology and asymmetry. Symmetry can only be produced by a creator. It is an evidence of the existence of Allah. In our faces, imagine our faces. We have two eyes. They place in a symmetrical way, or two ear laps, two ears, or the symmetry of our face. The reason why this symmetry is, as you know, our organism emerges out of a single cell. The sperm and ovum comes together, and they generate the so-called zygote, which is the first cell of a human being. And this cell starts to replicate. And all the other cells which replicate have exactly the same genetic code. But after the fifth day, they start to differentiate the cells. Although they are the same until the fifth day in our mother's womb, they start to differentiate. The reason is there is some genes are closed and some genes become activated and they transform into nerve cells, for example, or our fingernails, bone cells, or red cells, or white blood cells. Completely different, 206 different cell types, but they have the same genetic information. And then after that, of course, imagine our faces being formed. It is formed in a symmetrical way. That means the cells start to replicate in both sides of the face. They make our cells in a perfectly symmetrical position, and then they stop on both sides, but the result is symmetry. The reason is, this genetic code is encoded by Allah. It is created in a perfect symmetrical way. It is not by chance. It is shows the artistry of Allah and infinite power of Allah.
Alhamdulillah. And I've been trying to remember the name of this book. I can't. Maybe Dr. Babuna, maybe be familiar with it. But Imam Fahim Shawaib, he recommended a book to us some time ago. And it was called It's called The Biology of Belief. Are you familiar with that book, Dr. Babuna?
The Biology of what?
Of Belief.
Of Belief, okay. No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, I don't remember the author on the book, but I think if a lot of us, if we can read that book, I did not finish the book myself, but the things that Dr. Babuna is talking about, and I don't remember symmetry per se, but they're talking about the cells and so forth. And this is a person who basically says, I at one time was an atheist, a biologist, but biology called me to believe again, not necessarily a Muslim, but a Christian person, but he began to believe in God through biology. And some of the things, these things that are being talked here, I think you can find it in that book, The Biology of Belief. If you can look that book up, go to your library or go to Barnes & Noble or whatever. Area code 251, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name, where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Eddie Shaheed, Mobile, Alabama.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, I was calling in reference to the name of the author that you were looking for. His name is Bruce Lipton,
There you go. Yes, like Lipton tea.
Right.
Okay, Bruce Lipton. If you're looking for the book, The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. It's like Lipton tea, Lipton, Bruce Lipton. Very, very interesting book, but at least for me, I had to read kind of slowly because it is scientific information that you have to digest and follow. But he's pretty good. You have the book, I take it.
Yes.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Definitely encourage you to get the book, other listeners. Did you have a question, Brother Eddie? Did you have a question for him, or are you just giving us the title of the book, the author?
Just giving you the title of the book.
All right. Alhamdulillah. Appreciate that. All right. Brother looking out for brother. Again, Dr. Babuna, you know, we don't have these kind of intellectual, maybe I should say that different, scientifically intellectual conversations, maybe often, and let alone with someone of your caliber. And I know. Let me ask this question. So, going to be in America? You have any trips planned here?
Yes, actually, we go back and forth, actually, and we come to conferences in major universities, in churches, in the mosques, in many places of the foundation in U.S., in U.K., in Europe. But it's our plan, inshallah, to come soon for conferences, and it will be our pleasure and honor to be with you, inshallah, in a conference and lecture, inshallah.
Well, we would love to. I mean, if we were able to know, and I say well in advance, so we can arrange an audience and a location for the time that you're here, to bring you to a location, if it's not very near the location where you might be. If you could give us, I know the sister who I have most of my contact with, I don't know what her role is there, but
yeah, you're right. I mean, you're in contact with our sister, and she is the chief organizer. And you, by staying in contact, in touch with her, and you will find out when we are coming, and you can arrange, inshallah.
Okay, and definitely try to be able to do that there, and what have, because this is, you know, these are large concepts which we wrestle with all the time, even though we are believers. We believe God, okay? We believe in Allah. That's not the problem. The problem still is whether we have enough information to really discern and to answer some of these larger questions that come up, even in our minds or in discussions with other people about life, the development of life. I mean, and they have quite a bit of discussion going on in America about creationism versus evolution or Darwinism, or again the instant appearance of a man or a woman on Earth, and you know, by the biblical stories are abounding in America, and the biblical interpretations, philosophies, are abounding in America, and so the Islamic voice, and I say somewhat, gets drowned out. But we come from we come from Christian backgrounds. Most all of us on the line, we were Christians before we were Muslims, and so sometimes there's this sorting out of what I learned from a Christian point of view to what I'm learning as a Muslim point of view. So sometimes the interpretations, the translations of the Quran can be a little bit confusing for us as well. But my point of saying all of that was that of when we're looking at the scientific, whether it's the moon and the sun, the stars, you mentioned the jinn or the angels and so forth and so on. What do you recommend as a good approach, or how do we frame ourselves to enter into those higher discussions and getting information? I hope I'm making sense to you.
Yes, actually, there is nothing complex about the existence of Allah or religion. Even a small child could understand easily. You know, we are living in a world, and we see three-dimensional, colorful view, and we hear sounds, and we touch. So that shows us these are our perceptions, and there is a creator of the system, and that is Allah. Even somebody, Mr. Adnan Oktar says, gives his example. If somebody is sitting in a room for his entire life, never exiting the room, sees only the walls of the room, knows immediately that this view and this system he is living in, and he did not exist before, he was created in this system, is created by a creator. There is nothing complex about religion. And then we see the scientific evidences of the creation. We cannot see Allah. We cannot hear Allah. Allah can only be known through reason, from the evidences of the existence of Allah, which are the scientific evidences, which we talked about. So by speaking to people, the best way, and this is has been very effective because Mr. Harun Yahya has been working with this system, start with Darwinism, eradication of falsifying Darwinism scientifically, because, again, 99% of the world was controlled by Darwinism. Darwinism is taught in the schools like a scientific fact in U.S., in my country, in many Muslim countries, in Europe, everywhere of the world. So since the minds of the people, there's subconsciously, they carry this Darwinism like a fact, it is the best way to start with Darwinism to falsify the scientific evidences. And I give you very powerful scientific evidences. The impossibility of the emergence by the proteins by chance, and the 350 million fossils which falsify Darwinism. So after that, if you prove that Darwinism is not a scientific fact but is a fallacy, it's a pagan religion, the second step will be telling about the science leading to faith, which are the scientific evidences in the nature, for example, in the mosquito, in the honeybee, in the spiders, in the dolphins, for example, the sonar system of the dolphins, or the sonar system of the bats, or the way that the bees dance. These are the science leading to faith. So you give the scientific evidences for the existence of a creator. So this person who knows Darwinism is not a fact, but there is a creator, and there are signs of the existence of this creator, science leading to faith, will know that there is a creator. And the third step would be talking about the scientific miracles in the Quran. There are many scientific miracles in the Quran. Like, for example, Big Bang is mentioned in the Quran. There are scientific evidences of the embryology of the human beings is in the Quran. From geography, from astronomy, from geology is in the Quran. Many hundreds of scientific evidences. And our listeners can find the miracles of the Quran of Harun Yahya in his website, harunyahya.com. There are three volumes and hundreds of different scientific miracles. So, and after that, this person will know that Quran is the word of Allah, Quran is the book of Allah, there is definitely a creator, and the Quran is the word of Allah, and then he will start to believe and follow the Quran. He will start to pray or go to pilgrimage or fast. But before explaining that Darwinism is a nonsense scientifically, you cannot stop with the Quran. They won't believe it because they don't believe Allah anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But by starting with Darwinism and then science leading to faith and scientific miracles of the Quran, they will know Quran is the word of Allah and they will follow the Quran. That's the way it works. And Mr. Mm-hmm. Harun Yahya has been very successful. That's the reason why Darwinism and his materialism is going down in the world, because his websites are being visited by hundreds of millions of people. He has live TV programs in his TV channel, A9. A9 is his TV channel. Every night in the Turkish time, 10 o'clock, it changes sometimes in 10 p.m. Turkish time, sometimes 1 p.m. Turkish time. But with simultaneous English, French, German, and Russian translation, more than 50 million people all around the world, including U.S., Europe, and Far East, are watching his TV programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why Darwinism and materialism is going down. I've been, for example, have been to more than 1,000 conferences in major universities in your country, in U.S., in Europe, in many other countries. So we are very active in struggling scientifically against Darwinism and materialism. By eradicating these irreligious philosophies, it is very easy to teach religious morality throughout the world. And Darwinism is also the cause of the radicalism and extremism which is going on in the Muslim countries. That is the cause of that, because Darwinism controlled Palestine, Darwinism controlled Tunisia, Jordan, Egypt, many countries, Ottoman Empire, and has led to radicalism and extremism. And then we have seen all this terrorism and oppression of the Muslims and the bloodshed. But this mm-hmm. is the time for the Mahdi now. This is the end times. And Mahdi alayhi salam will prevail Islam in the entire world and establish the Islamic unity. And with Isa alayhi salam being his vizier, all the Christians will be converted to be Muslims, and Islam will prevail the entire world as a single religion. This is a promise from Allah in the Quran. This is from the Hadith. And this is also from the Torah. In the Torah, King Messiah, King Moshiach is mentioned. That is the same person with the Mahdi, we understand, because the signs given in the Torah are very compatible with the signs given in the Hadith. The dominion of the justice, for example, and there will be no bloodshed. the wars will be stopped, there will be no weapons. These are also from the Hadiths. Mm-hmm. And these are compatible Torah and the Hadith. That means King Moshiach, King Messiah is the same person with the Mahdi alayhi salam. And coming return of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and his presence is a fact from the Quran, definitely from the Quran, because Allah says in the one verse in the Quran for Isa alayhi salam, he is a sign of the hour. I seek refuge in Allah from my curse, Satan. He is the sign of the hour. That mm-hmm. means he must return back to be the sign of the end times, to be the sign of the hour. Hour is the last day, the doomsday. And since he came 2,000 years ago, before our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must return back. And mm-hmm. I'll give you another evidence from the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, verse 55. Allah says, when Allah said, Jesus, I will take you back and raise you up to me and purify you of those who are unbelievers. And Allah says, and I will place the people who follow you above those who are unbelievers until the day of resurrection. So did this happen at his first coming? No, of course not. There were only 12 disciples who believed in him. And unbelievers were superior to the believers at his first coming. Now Allah says, Allah will make unbelievers who follow you above those who are unbelievers, so he must return back, of course, for this to happen. This is the second powerful evidence. And also, another evidence, Allah says, there is not, this is also from the Quran, Surah An-Nisa 159, Allah says, there is not one of the people of the book who will not believe in him before he dies. So in order to die, he did not die. In order to die, he must come back, first of all. And Allah says, there is not one of people of the book, people of the book is Christians and Jews, who will not believe in him before he dies. In order to happen, he must return, of course, because in his first coming, the people of the book, his times, the Jews did not believe in him, only 12 disciples. Now, for all Christians and Jews to believe in him, people of the book, he must return back. These are very three powerful evidences from the Quran that he must return. And we understand he is present, because Allah is changing the world. Mahdi mm-hmm. is present, Isa alayhi salam is present, because the world is becoming much more religious, like it has never been before. Darwinism and materialism, atheism is going down, inshallah. And all the signs stated in the hadith by our Prophet came to be true. More than 150 signs. That means, of course, Mahdi is alive, Isa alayhi salam is alive. In fact, even the physical features of the Mahdi alayhi salam is given in the hadith. Can I tell you some of these?
Yes, yeah. We do have a couple of callers too, but go ahead.
Yeah, the physical signs given in the hadith by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, for example, Mahdi alayhi salam will be medium stature. He will have black hair, black beard, which is stated in the hadith, kevsej on the sides, thin on the sides, and majzum at the bottom. And he will have a mole on his cheek, but he'll be light colored, because it will be shining like star in the hadith it stated. So it is not a dark mold, a light-colored mold. He will have green eyes. Aynul Hadra is the word, which means green for his eyes in the hadith. He will have curved eyebrows and white brow, and he will have white light teeth in front teeth, and he will have broad shoulders, broad belly, and broad thighs, our Prophet says in the hadith. And he will have a mold like our Prophet had in his back between the shoulder blades behind his heart, exactly the same color in the shape. And he will be medium stature, and he will be a descendant of our Prophet. He will be Sayyid. So he will not be Arab, but he will be a descendant of our Prophet. And in the Hadith, mm-hmm. our Prophet stated that he will be active among the Turks. He will be born in Turkey and Istanbul, Constantinople, he says. Because in Hadith he says, he will conquer Medina. And his companion asked him, which Medina? Medina means city in the Arabic. Mm-hmm. And our Prophet says, as an answer to this question, Constantinople. Constantinople is the old name for Istanbul. So we understand he will be active in Istanbul starting in 1400 Hijriah, which is 1980. He will start his actions in Istanbul. And he will be struggling against irreligious philosophies. He will establish the Turkish Islamic Union. And he will cause, be instrumental in Islam prevailing the world. The most powerful evidence to know Mahdi is that he will pray with Isa alayhi salam together And Isa alayhi salam, by pushing with his two hands from his shoulders, he will make him imam of the world, the leader of the world. Then we will know that this person is Mahdi alayhi salam. He will have all the physical features, all the features stated in the hadith, and he will, Isa alayhi salam, will be his vizier. Then we will know he is Islam, Mahdi alayhi salam, because also he will be the person who is being instrumental for the Islamic unity, unity of Islam. So then we will know he is definitely Mahdi alayhi salam, inshallah.
I mean, so now, just out of clarification, if nothing else, so are you putting forth the, I say, proposition that Huran Yahya is this person, or are you trying, or are you saying that this person is yet to appear, or what are you saying about? I want to make sure I'm kind of clear about what you're saying about this slash the hadith in relationship to some physical person that is actually existing or coming to into existence, or how do you, how am I to take what you just said?
Okay. Claiming that a person, stating that this person is Mahdi, is unlawful, it is haram. The reason is, that means, of course, or any person saying, I am the Mahdi, is haram, because that means he does not have a fear of Allah. May Allah forbid. Because that means, stating a person that I am the Mahdi, or saying this person is definitely Mahdi, means he is innocent. He will he is innocent because of being Mahdi, and he will definitely go to paradise. But we cannot say that, because even the Mahdi is not sure about himself. Anybody who says, who claims that I am the Mahdi, he is definitely is not the Mahdi. This is a very powerful evidence he is not the Mahdi, because Mahdi has so much fear of Allah. He never says, he never claims, this is also from the hadith, I am the Mahdi. So somebody cannot be the Mahdi by struggling or working hard or claiming to be Mahdi. Mahdi is a position for proving that he is the Mahdi, which means, of course, he will be instrumental in establishing unity of Islam. He will be instrumental that Islam will prevail the world. So he will prove to be Mahdi, but he will never claim to be Mahdi. Anybody who says, I am the Mahdi, he is definitely not the Mahdi. So according to the hadith and the timing of the hadith, our Prophet stated 1,400. Even Sayyid Nursi, the great Islamic scholar Sayyid Nursi, says 1,400 years is the year for the emergence of the Mahdi. Mahdi is alive. Mahdi is present. We definitely know that. But I cannot tell you, or nobody can tell, this person is definitely Mahdi. I gave you the most powerful evidences that you know Mahdi is. Mahdi is that he prays with Isa alayhi salam together, and he will be the imam of Isa alayhi salam. That means he will be the leader of the world. And we will know Mahdi alayhi salam at this time, by during the prayer of Isa alayhi salam, he is the person who became instrumental in establishing Islamic Union, and he became instrumental, Islam prevails the world. Then we will know he is the Mahdi alayhi salam, and he will have all these physical features and these most powerful evidences that are told you from the hadith. Then we will know he is the Mahdi alayhi salam.
Okay.
But according to the science, we understand there is not much time left for this, inshallah. Inshallah. Mm-hmm. Allah knows the truth. We know in 10 years who is Mahdi and who is Isa alayhi salam, inshallah.
Okay. So we, and based on the hadith and the information you're giving us, one, again, and for those online, just hold on for just a second, I will get to you, that you're saying that, one, he is alive and active among us right now, and that somehow over the next 10 years or so, we will begin to know him personally. I mean, meaning there's a recognition of a large body of people who says this is the Mahdi.
Yes, inshallah. And again, the prayer of Isa alayhi salam with Isa alayhi salam, and that he is the leader of the Islamic Union, will be the very powerful evidences that he is the Mahdi alayhi salam, inshallah. So struggling or working hard, somebody cannot be a Mahdi. There is only one Mahdi in the destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And only Mahdi can establish Islamic Union. And only Mahdi can be instrumental Islam prevailing the world. Nobody can else do it. Working hard, claiming to be Mahdi is meaningless. There is only one Mahdi in the destiny, inshallah, created by Allah.
Yeah, just going to ask one other question. I'm going to bring in the listeners here. because I think of the Ahmadi community, and not no bad light, no nothing out of my heart about that. I'm just using this as an example that there's claim that he was the Mahdi, but I guess my point to you is, does the Mahdi, by your opinion, by your knowledge, your hadith or whatever that information may be, has to live to see the end of that, let's say, the union of the Muslims, the fullness of it?
Well, as I told you, Mehdi alayhi salam, nobody can claim to be Mehdi, because mm-hmm. Mehdi has fear of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I am the Mehdi means I do not fear of Allah. I will definitely go to paradise. I'm innocent and I don't need to do anything. Mehdi would never claim something like this. He has so much fear of Allah. He will never mm-hmm. claim to be Mehdi. And this is hadith also. Our Prophet said Mehdi will never claim to be Mehdi. People will force him to lead the world, to rule the world. They mm-hmm. They will force him according to the hadith. So Mehdi will not work hard or ask to be Mehdi. But he mm-hmm. is the Mehdi because there is only one Mehdi in the destiny, and we will know him. So anybody who says, I am the Mehdi, this is a very, very powerful evidence. He is definitely not the Mehdi, inshallah.
Okay.
But
all right.
Mehdi is the glad tidings. Our Prophet says, give the glad tidings of the Mehdi. That's the reason why all the Muslims are obliged to give mm-hmm. the glad tidings. That is an order from our Prophet, because he will bring peace. He will bring wealth. He will bring tolerance, justice, good morality to the entire world. That is the reason why he is a glad tiding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Area code 251. I know, Brother Foster, I guess we didn't hit a lot of good notes here today. You back, so alhamdulillah, appreciate you. Brother Ron Foster? I do believe that is. No, I'm sorry, that's 251. That's this Brother Eddie again? Did you press 1 to take yourself out of the queue? Okay, maybe not. Area code 251, press 1, take yourself out of the queue. Area code 609, if you would do the same. And maybe this is Foster, maybe. Area code 317.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, Brother Doctor, I have one additional question concerning the whole idea of genetic memory. What is your position on that and your opinion, and can you expound on it? Thank you. That's what I'm like.
Genetic memory. Okay.
Well, genetics is a branch of science, which is, of course, the scientific evidence for the creation of Allah. Because take the human DNA, for example. Our DNA consists of 3.2 billion letters. That is an information of 1 million pages of encyclopedia. As you know, the largest encyclopedia of the world, Britannica Encyclopedia, has about 25 volumes, which is about how many pages? 25,000 pages. But 1 million pages of information is packed in a molecule which is 1,000th millimeter in size. So there is a...
So in one molecule, you're saying that much information is packed into one molecule.
Exactly. And the size of the DNA is 1,000th millimeter in size. So it is a evidence, of course, highest technology, which means, of course, creation by Allah, with infinite power of Allah. Then there are genes, which are the regions of the DNA, which control, genes are the regions which final products are proteins or RNA molecules. Not all, entire DNA is a gene. The 98% of the DNA does not produce proteins, but only 2 to 3% of the DNA produces protein molecules, which are called genes. There are estimated 25,000 genes, different areas of the DNA, which codes for the proteins or RNA molecules as the final product. So we have about 25,000 genes. And these genes, then their final product, proteins, they control, for example, our height, the shape of our organs, the structure of our organs, our muscles, our brains, are all encoded in the genes. And one gene can control more than one protein. But the only mechanism created by Allah is the replication of the DNA. So from the first human being, Adam alayhi salam and his wife, and the first cell, we have the replication of the DNA. That is the only mechanism we have. And in that way, the genetic information, which has been existing from the very beginning, has been transmitted from generation to generation. But there is another mechanism actually created by Allah, which is called variation. Variation means different combination of the genetic information, which has been existing from the very beginning. For example, as you know, there are different human different human races. There are white Europeans, Caucasians, there are Orientals, there are Eskimos, there are Aborigines, there are African Americans, different human races. But the genetic information of these different human races has been existing from the very beginning, but different combination of the genes generate these different races. Or, for example, in the dogs, there are smaller dogs, there are larger dogs, Danawas, German Shepherd, Schwarzkangal, many different the kinds of dogs, but they are all dogs, and their genetic information has been existing from the first couple of their species. So variation is not evolution. Variation is different combination of already existing genetic information. According to Darwinism, there should be, there must be new genes, brand new genes, which did not exist before, and they should exist randomly by chance, new proteins by chance, new organs by chance, and new species by chance. But Allah did not create a mechanism like this. We only have the copying mechanism, the replication of the DNA, and combination of the existing genetic information, but this is not evolution. That's the reason why we don't have any transformation of species to other species. We don't have in the fossil record any formation of the organs. They appear complete and perfectly formed in the history of life. So that shows us Allah created, and Allah did not create through evolution.
Okay. So just curiosity and so cancer, what is cancer?
Cancer, actually, that's a very good example of what mutations would do. Mutations cause cancer. Mutations are random changes in the DNA. They are usually caused by external harmful mechanisms, such as X-rays, for example, ultraviolet, or some chemical substances cause mutations. Changes in the letters of the DNA, random changes. They also occur during the replication of the DNA. But mutations, the genes have such a complex structure, very, very complex structure. So any intervention, random intervention from outside generates dysfunction of these genes, dysfunction proteins, and they generate diseases such as cancer. Cancer is caused by the mutations of the DNA. These cells, which cause tumors, any kind of tumor, for example, there are tumors of the kidneys, of the brains, of the stomach, of the bones, of the muscles, any tissue, you have the cancers. These cancerous cells, because of mutations, they start to replicate, and they do not know where to stop and how they do not differentiate, actually. So the cause of the cancer is mutations, and that shows us mutations are harmful mechanisms. They cannot generate new genetic information or new proteins. They only harm the existing genetic information of the protein molecules, and cancer is caused by the mutations.
So it's not something new. It's just a mutation. It's not a new something.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, mutation is used as an imaginary evolutionary mechanism. But you know what? There is the most famous biology textbook of the world from United States. It's called Campbell and Rees, Textbook of Biology. In this book, Neil Campbell is one of the two authors of this book, Campbell and Rees. Neil Campbell in this book states that mutations, he makes this analogy for the mutations. He says, the mutations are like shooting the hood of the car, and making the performance of engine better. So, of course, that means if you shoot the hood of your car, you only damage your engine of the car. It will not make this engine better, more powerful,
right,
for example,
right,
a better engine. He knows that. He knows that mutations cannot be an evolutionary mechanism. But he still defends mutations in next pages, in the following pages, as an evolutionary mechanism, an imaginary mechanism. But this is not science. This is not scientist. This is a pagan priest, because although he knows scientifically and logically mutations cannot be an evolutionary mechanism, and evolution never happened, and he still defends it, that means this is not scientist. This is a pagan priest.
Mm-hmm. Let me get the next question, and let me again get Brother Eddie 251, Ron 2317 to press 1 on your phone, take you out of the queue. You have another question, then press it back to come back in the queue. Area code 313, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name, where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Omar from Detroit.
Yes.
I was listening to the comments about the Mahdi. Mm-hmm. And from the questions that I heard and the comments that I heard about the Mahdi, it seems to me that the problem that is affecting us the most is the actual identity of the Mahdi, who the Mahdi is. And I've heard that there were several references to hadith. And as I understand it, the hadith must be supported by the Quran. Otherwise, you know, we have to, you know, call that hadith into question. Now, I'm still listening to hear someone give us a support from the Quran concerning the hadith about the identity of the Mahdi. And so far, I haven't done that. So it occurs to me that maybe we need to rethink this. Just like our teacher told us to rethink the idea of Laylatul Qadr. In 1996, he told us that.
Mm-hmm.
Does Allah use the word Mahdi, Al-Mahdi? And we would know that if we would find that word in the Quran. And I think that if we look in Surah 5, Ayah 110, we'll see that word, Al-Mahdi. Something that would go along with that particular surah would be Al-Anbiya, 21, Ayah 91, to kind of give us a little bit better understanding of what 5:110 is. And I think that maybe that might be the identity of Mahdi that we should be concerned with, because Allah uses the term there. And mm-hmm. that's just a comment that I have to make.
Thank you.
Surah 5, Ayah 110, and yeah. Surah 21, Ayah 91. Plus, there was a comment made about this particular identity by Brother Salim Muhammad of the Mali Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, that would help us a lot to discover who the identity of the Mahdi is.
Okay. Dr. Babuna?
Yes.
The
brother was mentioning, I missed it. What was
it was Surah 5. Surah 5.
Yes.
And Ayat 110.
110,
and
okay.
It basically, the word, I guess, here, I'm reading the English now, but behold, I strengthen thee with the Holy Spirit, I do believe would be the English. Okay, no, then it says,
Let me read it. Yeah, let me read it.
Okay,
I have the word in front of me. Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Remember when Allah said, Isa, son of Maryam, remember my blessing to you and to your mother, and I reinforce you with the purest ruh, soul, so that you could speak to people in the cradle, and when you were fully grown, and then I taught you the book and wisdom and the Torah and the Injil, the Bible, and when you, the Gospel, when you created a bird shape out of a clay by my permission, and then I then breathed into it, and it became a bird by my permission, and healed the blind and the leper by my permission, and then you brought forth the dead by my permission, and then I held back the tribe of Israel from you, when you brought them to the clear signs, and those of them who were unbelievers said, this is nothing but downright magic. Now, I will explain you, but there are many parts of this verse, actually. Allah talks about Isa, Jesus, son of Maryam. Allah says, remember my blessing. And Allah says, I reinforce you with the purest truth, which is Jibreel alayhi salam, so that you could speak to people in the cradle. That was a miracle of Allah. Isa alayhi salam was given the miracle that he could speak to the people in the cradle. But the cradle also, the word cradle is Mahdi. I guess our brother said the same thing. I cannot be sure about that, but the cradle is the word Mahdi. And it goes on, when you were fully grown, and this word which goes on here is compatible with the age of 35 to 50s. And this word, Arabic word used here is compatible that he is returning back. There is an evidence. And Allah goes on, when I taught you the book and wisdom and the Torah and the gospel. Now, I want you to pay attention to here. Allah says, I taught you the book, the wisdom, and the Torah. So Allah taught Torah because at the time Jesus was born, Torah was there. And he knew Torah. And then Allah revealed him the gospel, so Allah taught him the gospel. But there is a word going on here. I taught you the book. So the question is, which book is Allah talking about here? The word book is used in many parts of other parts of many other verses in the Quran, for Quran. So Allah says, I taught you the book, the Quran, the Torah, and the gospel. So in order to learn Quran, Isa alayhi salam must be coming back. So this is another evidence, powerful evidence that he is coming back. And then Allah says, when you created a bird shape out of clay that I mentioned to you before, so by the leave of Allah, when Isa alayhi salam gives the shape of a bird to the clay by Allah's leave, and then he breathes into that, and it transforms into a living being. There is a very powerful evidence for creation out of all sudden creation, not through evolution. So the other thing is that I would like to actually emphasize, is very important. The evidences for Mahdi or Mahdiism is in the Quran. Not as the name with the Mahdi, but Allah promises in the Quran that I will prevail Islam. I want you to read some verses. Surah An-Nur, verse 55, Allah says, Allah has promised those of you, this is the promise of Allah. Allah has, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do right actions that he will make them successors in the land. Successors in the land mean, as you know, they will rule, they will govern. The land is the world. They will govern the world as he made those before them successors. So those who made before them successors were mentioned in the Quran is Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salam, and Dhulqarnain alayhi salam. At their times, Islam prevailed the world. So Allah said, as he made those before them successors like Sulaiman and Dhulqarnain, they will rule the world. Allah goes on and will firmly establish for them their religion. The religion is Islam. Allah says, Allah will firmly establish in the world with which he is pleased, and that is Islam, and give them in place of their fear, security. So do the Muslims have fear today? Yes. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, in East Turkestan, in Somalia, Chechnya, Muslims are in the situation of fear. The situation of fear exists in the world. But Allah says, Allah will give them in place of their fear, security. And we know from the Hadith, at the time of the Mahdi, security and peace will be in the entire world. And Allah goes on in the same verse, they worship me, not associating anything with me. Any who are disbelievers after that, such people are deviators. So only criteria, Allah says, is not to associate any partners with Allah. Sincere believers will govern the world, and that is Mahdi and its Muslims. Sincere Muslims, they will govern the world. Another verse, another evidence that Allah will prevail the Islam in the world. Allah says, and other things you love. This is Surah As-Saff, verse 13. And other things you love, support from Allah and imminent victory. Give good news to the believers. So in many verses, Allah promises that Allah will prevail Islam in the world. Since this did not happen, since 1,400 years, since the time of our Prophet, it will happen. There is no other time left. How do we know that? We know there is no other time left from the Hadith. The Hadith, in Hadith, the signs of the end times are given. There are many signs of the end times are given in the Hadith. I explained it a little while ago. For example, stopping the flow of the Euphrates in which happened in 1975, is a sign of the end times stated in the Hadith by our Prophet. The occupation of the Afghanistan that happened in 1979. Storming the Kaaba and the subsequent bloodshed in 1979 that happened. Iran-Iraq war stated in the Hadith happened in 1980. Smoke and fire covers the sky. You know that happened in September 11 attack in New York. Eclipses of the moon and the sun 15 days apart. This happened in 1985, 81, and 1982. Eclipses of the moon and sun in the month of Ramadan, two following years, as stated in the Hadith, happened two following years. Emergence of Halley Comet, stated in the Hadith, happened in 1986. Appearance of a two-tailed comet resembling a horn, Lurin Comet, passed in 24 February 2009. That is also another sign of the end times stated in the Hadith. A sign from the sun in 1996, occupation of the Azerbaijan in 1990, corruption of dust and smoke, September 11 attack, destruction of Bharat by flames, Iraqi war that happened in 2003, the Iraqis will be left penniless, an army vanishes in the desert, sanctions against Iraq and Sham, the reconstruction of Iraq. These are all the signs. More than 150 signs are happened. That means we are living in the end times. And also in the Hadith, our Prophet stated that the life of this world, this is what our Prophet said. There are eight Hadith actually. The life of this world is 7,000 years. It also in another verse, our Prophet says, this is, I'm going to read you the Hadith actually. Our Prophet says, I had a dream, and I told it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spoke the words inside him. O Rasulullah, I am with you on a seven-step pulpit, and you are on its highest degree. He, our Prophet, said, as for the seven-step pulpit, I am on the highest step. The life of the world is 7,000 years. So there are eight hadith stating that the life of this world is 7,000 years. So our Prophet is using a calendar. We don't know the beginning. It doesn't mean that the entire life of this world is 7,000 years. For example, we use a Gregorian calendar today. We are living in the year of 2011. But that doesn't mean the entire life of this world is 2011 years, but we are using a specific calendar. So our Prophet used a specific calendar. We don't know the beginning. And also in another hadith, this is related by Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Hanbal, you know, is the establisher of the Hanbali sect. He is one of the imams, Sunni imams. He says, this is a hadith related by Ibn Hanbal. He says, 5,600 years have passed from this world. That means 5,600 years are passed until the time of our Prophet, and 1,400 years are left. So we're living Hijriah 1,432, and there is no other time left. Islam must prevail between Hijriah 1,400 and 1,500, and after that, we can expect the doomsday.
Well, I know there's a lot of, when I say, preoccupation with the Mahdi, but I'm not even sure, again, when we look at this word, this term here, that it really has the application in which we use the term as though, again, you know, like, in other words, like in the other verses, I'm not sure which verse right now, but talking about Jesus, the Messiah. Okay, so we got the Mahdi, we got the Messiah, we got various different terms and things that people are focused upon to say X, Y, and Z is going to happen, or these are the signs for this or that. I guess my point then being is this, that are we not being more, and I'm going to use the term fatalistic, in the sense of we have a personal responsibility as Muslims to be doing something on the behalf of Islam, educating people, giving people information, that we're putting our duties and responsibilities off on some individual that we're hoping for? And don't we kind of again become like the Christians who are waiting for Jesus to return, to come and save us or to save the world, when it's probably our responsibility as Muslims, as human beings, to engage in this world, in each other, with this information that we have, and just begin to pursue. But we're this, and I say again, preoccupation of waiting on someone that somehow, I was more under the impression that Islam does not, and I say support, the idea of a savior, of salvation, versus personal duties and responsibilities that we have, and that we have to execute those. And that within itself, if we become better Muslims collectively, we can begin to change the world, or change definitely our circumstances and in our small areas. But this preoccupation, and that it kind of puts us to sleep, kind of puts us in a, well, I'm just waiting on the Mahdi, or I'm waiting on the Messiah. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not so much at you per se, but I'm just saying this. I'm not always positive that it is a good Islamic position for us to take, that this is the sum total of Islam and its sort of return back to his glory days. You can respond to that any way you choose.
Well, I definitely agree. There is no sitting back on waiting for anything, because every Muslim is obliged. There is an order from Allah. Allah orders the Muslims and enjoin the right, forbid the wrong, and struggle in the way of Allah. Allah says, with your wealth and your health. So we have, everybody's Muslims is obligation to struggle against corruption or any spread of corruption in the world with our wealth and health, our lives. Allah wants us to do that. So there is no sitting back or waiting. But Mahdi is a glad tiding. Our Prophet says, give the glad tidings of the Mahdi, because everybody wants that. I want Islamic morality prevailing in the world. I know you want that also. You don't want any wars, no bloodshed. Mm-hmm. You want everybody to be wealthy. You want peace, tolerance, and justice in the entire world. Don't you want that? Yes.
Yes.
And everybody wants that. So Allah says, through revelation to our Prophet, these are the hadiths through revelation of Allah, because he is giving the knowledge of the ghaib, unseen. Something is going to happen in the future. That information can only be from Allah. Nobody can know that. And all the signs came to be true, because there are signs such as, for example, stopping of the flow of the Euphrates, which has never been in the history like before, which happened in 1975 with the Kaaba Dam. Or, for example, a bloody attack to the Kaaba. Have you ever heard a bloody attack to the Kaaba since the time of our Prophet? No, nobody heard it, but it happened at the first day of Hijrah 1400. So our Prophet says, these signs are coming like pieces of a necklace. In 30 years, we have seen all the 150 signs came to be true, stated in the hadith. So we definitely know, even the children can understand. We're living in the end times. If I read you some verses from the Quran that Allah promises that Allah will prevail the Islam in the world. That's the promise of Allah. And Allah never fails to keep his promise. Mm-hmm. So, and Allah orders also the unity of the Muslims. Remember the words, hold fast to the rope of Allah, hold together and do not separate. So unity of Muslims and order from the Allah. If Muslims unite, inshallah, that's our obligation. We have to do that. Every Muslim has to do that. So of course there will be a leader of this unity. Like, for example, there's a president of the United States. There is a president of the European Union, or there's a pope of the Christianity. Of course, there will be a leader of this unity. And we call, whether we call this Mahdi or not, there is a Mahdi of Islam. So this is what's going to happen. Since Allah promised that He will prevail His religion and there is no other time left, this is the time for this, inshallah.
But it's still... Okay.
And this is why
for me, maybe.
Very much.
Huh?
And this increases our enthusiasm because I am so enthusiastic. I cannot wait for the Mahdi, inshallah. And I do everything I can.
But according to the term, and this is why I say I'm not sure Mahdi or I forget the other term now. But anyway, is and should be our concentration, I guess is in the word, is talking about something or someone who is baby-like, cradle, okay, who is going to speak from the cradle, not a...
That is Isa alayhi salam. That's not Mahdi. That's Isa alayhi salam. This happened.
Huh?
This is Isa alayhi salam. He spoke from the cradle.
But we're using the term for this future person to be the Mahdi, right? That's the same term, right?
There is a similarity. This is the word Mahdi is used for the cradle.
Okay.
But it is a similarity. The same word Mahdi is
but then,
also.
And so my point was, or is that the symbolism, I guess, not so much that this person is going to be a baby or a young child, that they're going to be this. So my point is the symbolism that maybe we need to begin to think through if it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be, in other words, this is only a type, the first one in the Quran we're talking about. This is just a type or a similarity of what the other thing may look like. So maybe the other thing may be, let's say like the prophet, is unlettered, unlearned, or come from an unexpected quarter of the world or of people versus saying I'm looking for another child, okay, that maybe we need to begin to apply more thinking, rationale to this concept of Mahdi and Messiah, that's the other word I was looking at, of Messiah, because people use both of them as sort of titles or terminology and what have you. And so that may help sharpen our vision so that we may really be able to recognize this person, these times in history that we perceive are going to happen and what have you. Anyway, we got a few callers. Let me get the callers back up.
Brother,
yeah,
actually,
go ahead.
I have a live TV program which is going to start soon. So if I can take like the last question
and make
the last part of my speech, that would be great. Actually, it is a pleasure and honor. But I have the live TV program because we should going to start soon, inshallah.
Okay, Eric, go 618. Your last question. Make it quick, and so my brother can leave.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I want to get back to that DNA. One of the first person they ran the test on, can you by any chance comment on the first person that they ran that DNA test on and the genetic history?
I couldn't understand quietly.
The question,
first person who had a genetic test, you mean?
Yeah, I think that's what he's asking. Is that...
The DNA testing that was ran on this first person.
Male or female, do you know?
I don't know, but the thing is, I'm not sure about what he's talking about, but the DNA was discovered in the 1940s by Francis Crick and Watson, and the sequence of the DNA was discovered in the 1990s in the Human Genome Project. So that was the first time we discovered the sequence of the DNA, but we don't know what these sequences mean exactly. Many of the genes are, we don't know what kind of proteins are being produced and what kind of functions they have.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the sequence of the human DNA after the Human Genome Project. That we know for sure.
Okay. Let me just I know you've been to America a lot of times. Did you ever meet what was known as Imam Waterthedeen Muhammad? Did you ever meet him and talk with him in America?
I'm sorry, who again?
Imam Waterthedeen Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad. Did you ever meet and talk to him before in your trips to America?
I haven't, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, he's passed away now. I was just wondering. I just out of curiosity, had you ever met him or anything?
I would love to, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he's passed away now. May Allah rest his soul.
Know.
And nowhere. But anyway, my brother, Dr. Get your name out. Babuna. It's really been a pleasure. Inshallah, we may do it again. We wish you well again. All right, my brother, thank you very much. And again, spread the word in Turkey, Istanbul, that there is an American Muslim 360 internet radio station. They can listen to it anywhere in the world. And inshallah, we are the number one Islamic Muslim-oriented radio station here on Blog Talk Radio, AmericanMuslim360.com. Thank you very much, my brother. And
thank you very much.
Love the country over there. Take good care.
I love you. I love all my Muslim brothers and sisters, and I send the salam of Mr. Harun Yahya, and I hope to be with you again. It was a pleasure and honor, inshallah. We are living in great times. Inshallah, we will see all together. Mehdi alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, we will hark together, inshallah. And there will be. This is the time for peace, tolerance, and justice in the entire world. And I also, you're right, there was a problem with the website. It is fixed right now. Inshallah, they can go and visit our website, Mr. Harun Yahya's website, download his books, his documentaries free of charge. Inshallah, spread the truth of Islam all around you, inshallah. This is the time for Islam, inshallah.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Take good care, and inshallah, we'll talk soon. Hopefully, we'll meet you in America. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. I'm looking forward to meet you there, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. All right, that is Dr. Ahmed Babuna.